Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We're continuing this morning our series of sermons on the life of King David. And last week we looked at David and Goliath. Today we look at David's relationship with Saul, King Saul. The period is back maybe 1,000, maybe 900 years before Jesus. It comes from the royal archives in Jerusalem. It's been re-edited a number of times to meet different needs along the way, but it's a very powerful account. And if you ever have the chance to read 1st and 2nd Samuel in the Old Testament, you won't find it boring. It's very real, very true to life. Okay. As I read this, think about the place of jealousy in our lives. Jealousy and envy, I'm using them as synonymous today. From 1 Samuel chapter 18. David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. And as a result, Saul set him over the army. And all the people, even the servants of Saul, approved. And as they were coming home, when David returned from killing the Philistine, the women came out of all the towns of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and musical instruments. And the women sang to one another, and they made merry, and they sang this: Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was angry, for this saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed just thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, an evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house. While David was playing the lyre as he did day by day, and Saul had a spear in his hand, and Saul threw the spear, for he thought, "I will nail David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a young man, David was on the path to success. Very quickly, he was brought through the ranks in the army and became the head of the army. He was married to the daughter of the king, and the king's son was his best friend. So right at the beginning, we have this young man. Everything he touched sort of turned to gold, success after success. The world was his. But there were problems. The Philistines were as aggressive as they had always been. And there was an unforeseen problem with David's father-in-law, the king, who became very jealous of David and his popularity with the people. And on one occasion, and again, Saul was in a foul mood this day, and he saw David playing the lyre for him, And he had a spear in his hand. And thinking he'd do away with this upstart, this rising star who might be a threat to his power and prestige, he threw the spear at David. And fortunately, he missed. But David was in trouble from this day on. Now, there are times in life when we have our successes, right? We win. But those times don't go without problems, too. And sometimes they come from a very unexpected source. They seem to come out of the blue. Now, there's a story that some of you may have heard before. And I think someone told me this just recently. But it's a story about two boys who on Sunday morning, I should say, instead of being in church, they were playing in the backyard of their house. And there was a rustling in the bushes. And their dog, Matt, came through shaking a rabbit in its mouth. And this rabbit was black and white. And the kids recognized it immediately as the rabbit of their neighbor, Mrs. Clausen, next door. They didn't know what to do. So they went to their father, and they said to the father, "You know, this is what happened. The dog got the neighbor's rabbit." And the father said, "Not to worry. I'll tell you what to do. Wash the rabbit off. Dry him off. Put him back in the rabbit hutch next door. And Mrs. Clausen is at church now. But when she comes home, she'll glance in the hutch. She'll see that the rabbit is dead and be upset about that. But she'll think it's from natural causes." So they did what the father said. Mrs. Clausen came home from church, and the boys hid in the bushes to see just what would happen. Mrs. Clausen came home from church and glanced in the rabbit hutch, and there were just blood-curdling screams. There was language that little boys shouldn't hear. And the boy's parents came running down out of the house to find out. And they said to Mrs. Clausen, "You know, what's up? What's wrong? What's happened?" And she was sobbing. And gradually she got some control over herself. And she said, "I buried that rabbit 3 days ago." You know, we can be successful, but every once in a while, things just come out of nowhere. And we think we've slain one giant like David did, and then all of a sudden we're faced with another. We climb out of one hole and fall into another. You remember what happened in the reading today? David and Saul are coming back from a battle with the Philistines, and no ticker tapes down Broadway in those days. Just, the women come out, they've got their tambourines and musical instruments, and they're singing, and they sing that song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed how many? His 10,000s. Saul hears this, and he is not keen at all on what he has heard. He has his eye on David from this time on. He's jealous. Now, last week we saw he was sort of a mixed character himself. He had his flaws. But now he's seized by a poison, and that poison this jealousy. David becomes an obsession. Now, I don't know if we've ever been in this kind of situation. Saul was an accomplished king. He was king, the ruler of his people, head and shoulders above the people, the Bible says. He's had his battles. He's had his successes. But he's just compares himself to David and what people are saying about this young upstart now. And he sees this guy as a threat to his succession. He sees this guy as a threat to his own power. And I don't know, have you ever been there where, you know, you make comparisons between yourself and others? And at one point in life, I think regardless of who we are, there's going to be some guy who has killed his 10,000s while we've just had our thousands. The Mark Zuckerberg, who's more successful in business. The George Clooney, who's more handsome. The brother or sister for whom sports and study at school just comes naturally while we've had to struggle and work and work. There's always somebody who has, you know, that 10,000 while we just have our 1,000. The neighbor whose kid can read before ours can. Somehow I was reading People magazine the other day. I don't know whether it was in a vet's office or from the kids, but they were talking about Lori Loughlin, you know, the TV star involved in the school scandals. And they said she had a $35 million home. That's more than most of us will ever see in a lifetime. She had a $35 million home. But her neighbors had even more expensive homes. And they regarded college and the college you went to as very important. Jealousy is when we think that someone else has something that should belong to us, right? And I suspect at one time or another, we've been there. You know, David hears the women singing, and just a cloud. You can always see that cloud come down over his face. Well, how like David do we deal with this? How do we handle it? I saw a story about an Olympic singer, swimmer. A person who, just by, I think, maybe a fraction of a second, missed out in being number one. She was in a race with the opponents, and there was one person who touched that wall just a second before she did. And a reporter was talking with her and said, "Gosh, you must be disappointed." And she said, "No, I'm actually happy. Sure, I didn't make the gold. I got the silver. But this was the best time I've ever had as a swimmer." And I don't know if I would be as mature as she was. But I think perhaps one way of dealing with jealousy is to avoid those comparisons with other people and work on the talents and gifts that God has given to each one of us. Everybody has their limitations, even, you know, the superstars. Everybody has their limitations. There are stories about Albert Einstein, all kinds of stories, where he was in in a telephone booth. This is back in the day when they had telephone booths, okay, and telephone books. And he was in Princeton in a telephone booth trying to look up his own telephone number so he could call his wife to come and get him because he didn't know how to get home. One of the smartest men I've ever met in my life was a scientist, a PhD guy in Naugatuck. He worked with Uniroyal. And he would go up to a meeting in Boston. He'd drive up. And after the meeting, he forgets that he drove up. He takes the train to New Haven and can't figure out why he can't find his car in the parking lot. And this guy was brains off the charts. As Clint Eastwood said, a man's got to be aware of his limitations. You know, we all have it. David had these spears thrown at him. He's forced now to escape. Saul is after him in a jealous rage. And you can imagine now the great fall from grace that's taken place. Here's a guy who was at the center of power. Everything he touched turned to gold. The royal court in Jerusalem. He was the darling of everybody. And now he falls from that to become a nobody, an outlaw out in the desert. And if they had the Daily News or the New York Post or the National Enquirer in those days, I don't know what the titles would be, what the headlines would be. Royal Rumble. Giant Slayer out. Just think of the transition in life to come from the top to the bottom overnight. Even although you've tried to do your very best. David is forced out into the wilderness as a nobody, an outlaw. And not just the Philistines are involved, you know, with their aggression, but also King Saul is chasing him all over the place. I remember back in the old days trying to go up to Maine and getting caught in the toll booth in New Hampshire. And it was summer, the warmest day you could imagine. And I was in line for that toll booth at least an hour. And my patience had gone. I'm getting Easy Pass. And Easy Pass is great. You know, you don't even have to stop. You just go right through 60 miles an hour. And they pick you up. But I think with our lives, there's no real easy pass, is there? We have our successes. But David certainly didn't have the easy pass. I didn't. And I suspect that's true of many of you. David is out in the desert. He's out off the stage. And I'm surprised, you know, as I look at famous people and as I look at leaders, how many of them went through that same kind of experience where they're off the stage, they're in the wilderness. It was Winston Churchill who said, success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. And David, he wasn't an angel by any means, and it wasn't such a great experience out in the desert, but at the same time, it's a school for his character. There is a change, a maturity that takes place out there, and he's out there till he's about 30. He comes back on the scene, much more a person of character, of faith, and key to his future, his skills as a military leader. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. To be continued.